You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Pat Rigsby here with another episode of the Ideal Business Show, and today I am about as honored as I can be because I have my good friend and really the person that kind of blazed the trail for what I consider this whole concept of an ideal business, Ryan Lee. Ryan really was the single most influential person in opening my eyes to what was possible when it came to building a business that not only was reflective of your strengths and still had a really profound impact, but one that was not just lifestyle friendly, but family friendly, because I know that Ryan, shares a lot of those same values that I do about, family coming above all else. So, I could go on and on. Ryan has done about everything there is to do as far as launching businesses, mentoring so many people that are in our field and beyond. So without further ado, welcome, Ryan.
Thank you for the great intro, Pat. We've known each other a long time, and I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to be one of your first guests in the Ideal Business Show, and we are going to lay out a strategy that's ideal. I'm excited, and Pat, I could talk about this stuff forever, so like the fact we don't have questions ahead of time, we're just going to have a conversation. So I am all yours, my man.
So, Ryan,
gotta go. No, just kidding.
So looking back, you've had such an exciting journey, such an exciting path, but I wanted to kind of start, it's been over a decade ago now. What kind of opened your eyes to seeing that you weren't limited to the traditional method of coaching, the traditional kind of one-to-one or one-to-a-few, and kind of open your eyes to the opportunity to reach out to people online?
It started a long time ago with my first site in 1999. Then I had a website up for my personal training business. And, that's how I started, Pat, just like you, in the health and fitness industry. And I did strength and conditioning. And I messed around for a few years. I would do some online training. I actually made most of my money. A lot of people don't realize it's selling gym equipment online. I would sell bands and medicine balls and all that kind of stuff. And it really became apparent after a couple of years of messing around when I created my first paid membership site. I basically took all this content that I created, and instead of charging people like $99 for like a program, because what I did was I would charge. So this was, again, think almost 20 years ago. It's just shocking. People would pay me like $99 for a personal training program. And I was getting a little overwhelmed. I couldn't do all the programs. I hired a guy. And the first guy I hired who started working for me creating training programs, you probably know who he is, Craig Ballantyne. So this is like 1999 and 2000. So we're going back a ways. He was still kind of limited. You're still trading hours for dollars in a sense. So when I put everything behind a paywall and said, all this training content, you now have to pay. And like out of the gate, we had, I don't remember how many members, but it was like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of members, which at the time doing this part-time was just mind blowing. I'm like, man, because I could scale this up to 1,000 members, to 5,000 members, and there's no extra work effort because I upload the article and it could reach one person, it could reach 10,000 people. So that's when the light bulb went off. And that's when I really put my head down and said, you know what? And I told my wife, we didn't have any kids at the time. We have four kids now. And I said, if I can do this for 6 months consecutively and keep growing this income and keep putting members in, we could really make a go of this. And I can get more leverage. I can have more time. And when we start to have a family, we could do this. And that's where it all really changed. And well, the story. I did that for a few years and it was growing. And then other trainers are like, well, Ryan, you're an idiot. And if you could do this and make all this money, can you teach me how to do it? And then my first round of clients were, Alan Cosgrove and Mike Boyle and Zach Evanesh and Elliot Hills. Like all these people, Eric Cressy, people who are kind of well-known in the fitness industry now, were my first guys that kind of started learning how to do this. And, a decade later, they're still rocking. And I still have not changed my concept of like lifestyle comes first. Because I said to my wife, you know, I want to do this, but what I don't want, and there's nothing wrong with it, right? But what I don't want is an office with 500 employees and running a big billion-dollar company. To be honest, I don't even know if I have the skill set to run a billion-dollar company. It's a whole different world. But I said, you know, if we can get six, even a seven-figure business where there's not a lot of stress, not a lot of overhead, I could still do the coaching I love with the kids and, you know, spend time with them and spend the afternoons with them and volunteer and have more than enough money for us and for our family and have no financial stress, then that's what I always want to do. And I run it through that filter of, you know, is this going to be high profit and low hassle? If yes, let's explore it. I know I went off on a little tangent there, but I still to this day, like right now, Pat, we're doing this interview and I am in my basement. I worked this morning for a few hours from the coffee shop, which is what I love to do. I come back home. My kids are at school. I have the whole house. I have the whole little basement office to myself with some reclining chairs, and I'm good to go. And I love it. I wish this for everyone who wants it. I really want to help them achieve it because there is no better thing in the world than building a business. You could still hire some people and you could do it the right way. You could have a virtual team. You could spend time with your family, your friends, or, you know, go watch movies, whatever the heck you want to do, but enjoy life. And especially the health, sports, performance people and the fitness people, there's so much we can do and so many lives we can impact rather than just people within, you know, a 5 or 10 mile radius. So if we look at it, Pat, not just me, but you too, obviously you've helped a lot of fitness professionals over the years. I mean, think about all those thousands of trainers we've impacted and how many millions of lives those people have impacted. It's awesome. That's my answer, I think. I don't even know if I freaking answered your question, but I'm just going to keep talking, Pat.
I think you more than answered my question, so that's awesome. So, I mean, really, that's it in a nutshell. And I know I kind of, you know, started to go into that kind of more formal corporate business route and then, you know, took a detour a while back. And obviously, you were one of the first people that I called before it actually was announced or anything, just to get some feedback, because I knew you had done it in a way that made me want to, you know, model what you had done and learn from it. So if somebody that you've mentored, and there are so many, obviously, if somebody that you've mentored has had success, what are some of the things that you think that they've done well, or maybe traits that they've had that allowed that success kind of transitioning from a typical, even if it's outside of fitness, a service-based business, what did they do well that allowed them to do that?
That's a great question. And obviously, there's lots of different traits. So I will tell you like a couple of the biggies, right? I'll give you one that's more general and then one that's more specific. The more general one is they had this, I don't want to say passion because that's overused. It's burning desire. It's, I want to succeed so badly and I want this and I'm willing to do what it takes. Like the first call I ever had with Zach Evanesh, you know, he's like, dude, I'm going to do it. Like, I am going to do whatever it takes. And I just knew he had that. And related to that is this, you know, talking tactically, it's never stopping. Whatever it is you do, never stopping, not giving up. So I mentioned Elliot Hulse earlier, who's had, you know, it took him years to kind of crack the code. He was doing like a YouTube video a day. And it started off with kind of general fitness stuff and it transitioned to more personal development. And he just kind of went along the journey, but he never stopped. You know, Zach has never stopped doing videos and blogging. Alan Cosgrove have never stopped teaching. Mike Boyle has never stopped teaching. So it's never stopping. It's being prolific. And what you'll see is a lot of people will get online and they're not very patient. And they'll come on and they'll do content for, you know, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months. And they're like, oh man, I got, you know, like I only have 300 Facebook fans. Well, you know, it's going to take time if you're going to do the free method. So that's one trait, is kind of having that, like, nothing's going to stop you and not giving up. But on the other hand, the other trait is knowing your role, like knowing what you're good at, being in your zone, whether it's I'm good at, you know, tactically, I'm good at doing videos, so that's what I'm going to stick with, or I'm good at training baseball players, so that's what I'm sticking with, and just being the baseball training guy. And when you could come into a market and niche it down and step up and be the man or the woman, say, this is me, this is my market, this is what I do, I'm all in with this, and just go for it, not thinking too far ahead. Because another issue people have, Pat, is they overanalyze and they start thinking, well, you know, that's cool, like I love training, you know, football players now, but, you know, 6 years from now, I might not want to just train football players. Well, you know, Pat, so much changes online in 6 years. I mean, 6 months things change. So don't worry about it. You got to start with a market and a niche and niche it down until you become the clear and obvious choice. And I use the example a lot of Facebook. Everyone says, well, Ryan, you're wrong because Facebook reaches everybody. Look how successful Zuckerberg is. You look at the history of Facebook. Facebook started with one niche within a niche within a niche. Everyone says, well, he started with college. No, he didn't start with college. He started with a specific college. He started with Harvard. And then once he got some traction, then he branched out and said, not just all college. Now we're going to go to Ivy League. And then we're going to go to college. And then we're going to open to high schoolers and then to everybody. So he took his time, went to one market, and grew from there. And you could still make six, seven, sometimes even eight figures, depending on the market, like in these nice niche markets. I mean, look how many people we know that have made money in the business of fitness world, which didn't really exist, you know, 15, 20 years ago. There was only a handful of, there was like two or three of us, really, teaching this stuff. And now it's like a whole industry of itself. So there's a lot of money to be made in just about every market you can imagine. So those are the traits that I think are really powerful. And the people who've had success that I've taught and mentored over the years have kind of fit into those two things.
That's great. That's absolutely fabulous. And just as you talk about it, I can just think of people that have followed that approach and, you know, the persistence that guys like Zach and guys like Elliot have shown, the way that some guys, you know, like Alan have been able to build on a pretty narrow platform in the beginning and expand and just built layer upon layer on it until, you know, he's got such a fabulous business that's so lifestyle friendly. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah. If you think your business today at this moment you're listening to this is going to be the same a year from now, you're mistaken because it won't be. You know, I look at my business and Pat, I'm sure your business, I mean, it's a journey. It's a transition, especially if you're doing a majority of your marketing online. I mean, 5-6 years ago, no one was doing really Facebook ads. Now, that's a majority of most people's ad spends. You know, look at the way Google's changed, where everything was about Google AdWords, and that's really shifted for information marketers. So things shift. When I first started, there was no video online. There was no YouTube. There was no Facebook. There was no audio. And now if you don't have video, you're seen as like almost antiquated. So it will shift. It will change. You just got to go along for the ride and not get too stuck in, this is what I want to do, and I don't care what anyone says. You know, I don't care what technology is. I'm going to just do my own thing. Keep your mind open and don't stop.
So this is kind of a selfish question for me, but I know it'll benefit the others listening in. Of all the people that I've ever been around, you are clearly the preeminent one when it comes to just seeing ideas and kind of just seeing opportunities maybe before everybody else. Do you have any sort of methodology, any best practices, you know, anything that's helped you see opportunities maybe before the rest of the marketplace does?
Well, and I appreciate that. I feel like I do have this. Look, I have no, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell the future. But what I do understand are, you know, people and their behaviors and human psychology. And I say this to my subscribers all the time, and I don't think they listen to me. I always, always tell them, put yourself in the shoes of your customer, of your client, and what do you want? So if I'm sitting there, you know, at night when I sleep, if I want to watch a little TV, like I'm looking, okay, what am I watching? What am I viewing? Oh, I'm on Netflix. Oh, look at the way this looks. So I'm taking that perspective. If I was a client, not just, all right, what's cool? What's okay? Yeah, all right, here's another ebook. Oh, 6 weeks to, you know, lose 6 inches. Whoop-boo! Big deal. You know, how many freaking programs are there like that? But what's going to shake the market? What's going to have them stand up and be like, oh my God, I want that. I like that guy, I like that girl, and I want what they're selling. And the offer is so good that they can't wait to get their credit card out. Everyone's focused on traffic, traffic, traffic. How do I get the cheapest clicks? When they should be spending like 99% of their time, especially at the beginning, on the offer. Because the offer is everything. So I'm always focused on the market, on what they want, on what the offer is. And then I say, okay, how good is this offer? Is it 10 times? If I'm charging $30, is it worth $300? Yes. How can I make it worth $3,000. You know, how can I make it worth $30,000? And I mean, even now with Freedom University, it really is like, it's almost like a mastermind group too. And there are guys that charge 25, 30 grand. And mine is $30. And it's like, it's $30, but it really is a $30,000 value. That's why it's going so well. So between knowing your customer, but being able to predict trends, it's the old, I don't remember who used to talk about this all the time. It's probably like Jay Abraham, really getting outside your industry. So a lot of fitness people, what they'll do is they'll go and they'll say, okay, what are the biggest selling fitness products? And they'll look at like ClickBank and let me look at the top, and they all have a video sales letter and let me copy them. And yeah, there's validity to seeing what's working and finding ways to improve upon it, make it a little bit better. And that's great. You can get some nice hits. Pat, you're a baseball guy. You get some nice singles and doubles. And those add up. Nothing wrong with hitting singles and doubles. But if you want the home run, you got to get out of fitness and look at what other people are doing. What are they selling in the whatever market? Knitting, right? What's the number one knit? You know, I want to create a fitness membership. But what's the number one knitting membership or gardening? Or what are they doing in the entertainment space? What do these sites look like? And that's how I came up with Freedom Air. When I was surfing, I'm like looking at Netflix. I'm seeing the way it's laid out visually. I'm like, why can't I create the Netflix for lifestyle entrepreneurs? So to be honest, Pat, when you get the big breakthroughs is when you're not on your computer. Like getting away from your computer, living life, experiencing life. Stop sitting on your computer all day long. Get out. Go meet people. Even now, when I go to like a mall, we go to the mall with my family. I'm looking at every store. You'd be shocked if you saw my cell phone because it's pictures of different stores and the logos. And I'll go into like a store that sells, I don't know, natural cosmetics, and I'll take pictures. I'm like, oh, this could be a really cool image for our new supplement company. Wow, I like the way this looks kind of high-end. Maybe this is something I could use for the new product we're creating. Just the lettering, I could send that to my graphics guy. Which has, you know, a jewelry store has nothing to do with online business, but thinking, what can I take from this? What can I learn from this business? And I learned that from my dad. We would walk around, and if there's an empty store, he'd be like, Ryan, what do you think would go well there? And we would just start, you know, flexing our entrepreneurial brain. So really getting outside your market, looking at different markets, what's going on in these other places, what are they doing, what can I learn from them? And then saying, okay, if I adapted this for my market, how could I make it even better? So my members, the people in my world are just freaking blown away. And they just, not only do they join, they tell everyone they know about it. So that's my little secret sauce. I tell you, Pat, I don't think in 15 years, I don't think I've used that like Google keyword tool search. You know, that used to be the big thing. Before you do a market, you got to do a keyword search and make sure, oh, bullshit. You don't need to do any of that stuff. Just freaking put it out there, man. Get something that, just get that offer that blows people away. And you'll be surprised some really cool things that can happen.
You know what? I've always thought, you know, am I crazy for going in, like when we're at the mall and I walk in somewhere like Lush or something that Holly goes.
Yeah, and Lush is the one I couldn't think of. That was the name with the black chalkboard look. Yeah. That gives you so many ideas.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. And I think you're absolutely right. Everybody in our industry seems to want to mimic one another. And, you know, I even see it in the offline businesses, you know, people setting their pricing because everybody else in their market has a similar price without thinking about the fact that maybe those people really didn't know much in the first place.
Yeah, right. It becomes incestuous. Well, even, you know, if you want to look at purely numbers, I think probably my most successful student financially, a lot of people in the online space know who he is, Mike Geary, right? So has made, you know, tens of millions of dollars with his ebook. But people, they look at that and they're just trying to do like the same video sales letter, they're trying to copy him from, you know, thing that was working for him a couple of years ago. But they also don't know his whole business. They don't know the funnel. They don't know the back end. And they're making guesses based on very, very little information. They don't realize that if you're buying an ad and Mike has this big funnel on the back, that he could be losing $20 a sale and still make a lot of money because he has a back end funnel. And people will copy it and they'll be like, I don't understand, man. You know, I'm charging $39 and I'm losing $15 a sale. How is this possible? And they go, oh, this internet marketing is all bullshit. It's all a scam, you know, because they don't really understand what's going on. Be a student of marketing. Be a student of business and enjoy it.
I'm loving it. So, all right, so I'm going to shift gears. There was a conversation that you and I had in Key West when we were at lunch, actually.
I remember Key West. I remember having lunch with you and Holly and
I think Scott Colby might have been there.
Scott Colby, and I think your child was like a baby then or something.
Yeah,
Alex. Yeah, like a stroller. Yeah.
Yes, Alex was like 2 months old, and now Alex is 5 going on 15, I think.
Okay.
So we talked about how you had kind of figured out your strengths and how you decided that, you know, you wanted to surround yourself with other people whose strengths complemented yours rather than trying to do all things. And I thought that was just like the most profound thing. And that one, you know, really resonated with me. And it's like a core principle of a lot of what I do now. So, I mean, can you share kind of that shift that you made from trying to be the jack of all trades to being just world class at a few things?
Yeah. It's funny. I remember the meal. I remember it was even that, what was that famous place we had it? It was like Hemingway's or whatever, cheeseburger place.
Yeah.
Whatever, Sloppy Joe's or something.
Yep, whatever, Sloppy right? Joe's.
Yeah, I remember having the Sloppy Joe's. I remember that. I don't remember the conversation. Like, I don't remember saying that, but it sounds like something I would say. You know, on kind of a bigger level, I think partnerships, Pat, I'm sure you've seen this. It's amazing how many people make this mistake is they'll, let's say they go to a marketing event, right? They'll go to like a fitness business event, let's say, and maybe it's not one of ours. Right, maybe it's some other guy who's some scumbaggy, you know, upsell shit guy. I'm not going to name names. So let's say it's one of those things, right? And they meet. So they're excited. They have 101 ideas. Oh, I want to do 6-pack abs. I want to do 8-pack abs. I want to do, you know, vertical jump. And they meet another guy, and he's just excited. And they've been studying marketing, and they're going crazy, and they have all these ideas. And they're like, let's partner up and let's go 50-50. Pat, you know how this story ends. You know how this story ends. I wish I could name names and tell you how many failed partnerships I've seen and been a part of, because I've been guilty of this in the past as well. Because what happens is the term I used to use all the time was there's starters and there's finishers. A starter are those guys, the ideas guy. They can't sleep at night. They're the ones who I do a call and they're like, Ryan, I have 18 ideas. I want to do this ebook on 6-pack abs, but I also love cooking, so I want to do a cooking one later. And I love to, you know, help my kids, so I want to do one about how to be a super dad. And they're screwed because they're never going to do anything. But these guys get together and all they do is launch, 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 but nothing ever gets traction because they're bored and they're on to the next thing and they don't really go deep into a market. So that's the kiss of death. You know, maybe you start off well and it goes downhill pretty fast. And then there's the opposite. There's the finisher, the person who is a little bit more detail-oriented. They love the stats. They love split testing, but they're not necessarily the big idea person. And when you get two of those together, they have some great ideas, but nothing ever actually gets launched. They're thinking about it. They are programmers and they get all this stuff and they play business for like 6 years, but they never actually make any money. So either combination is bad. So if you're a starter, you need what's called a finisher. Or there's a great book called Rocket Fuel. That book is transformative. And they call them a visionary and an integrator. So if you're the visionary, the starter, you need that integrator, that finisher. You need that person. But the two integrators together, two starters together, it's not a good combination. So if you are going to partner, find someone who complements your skills and know what you're good at. Like I said earlier, like if you're good at video, do video. I don't care if everyone says, oh, you got to do, you know, someone will come out and say, and here's the typical BS, right? A marketer will come out with the subject, you know, video is dead, you know. If you want to succeed online, you have to do 5,000-word blog posts once a week because look what I did with one mind and I got 3,000 clicks. And then all of a sudden, you're not doing video anymore and you're trying to follow this guru when, okay, that's one thing, right? But if you're really good at video, stay in your lane. Be good at that. And if you do want a partner, find people who complement your skills. Another thing I've learned along the way is it was a quote from this book by Felix Dennis. He died a few years ago. He was worth hundreds of millions, a publisher. And he said, never, ever, 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 ever give up equity. And I've learned, because I've been really generous. You know, someone would come on, I'd give them, you know, 10% or 20%. Don't do that. You know, if you are going to be the owner, then you want to try to hold on to as much control as possible. And there's a difference between, you know, the ownership and distribution is, do you know, Pat?
Yep.
You know, you could have giveaway ownership. You can pay someone 50%, but it doesn't mean they have 50% owner in the business. There's two different things, two very, very different things. And the biggest mistake you can make, I did a coaching call with a guy last week, and he was kind of annoyed at me because he had a programmer who put together some crappy looking membership, like Pat, awful. And he's giving this guy 20% of his company. I'm like, why are you doing that? Why are you giving a programmer 20? You could have paid a guy $300 on Elance to do this. So that's a big mistake because what happens is these programmers, you're the last priority because if it's between their 20% of your business, which hasn't really gotten started, or it's making $500 a month and they're making $100 a month, and they just got a new client that's paying them $7,000 up front, guess who's getting the priority, my friend? You're getting knocked to the back of the line. I've never seen that relationship work either, ever. So be very, very careful with partnering. I mean, so many examples. I've had probably 3 or 4. When they didn't work, it's because I made the mistake of partnering with another visionary. So partner smart if you are going to partner. But you really don't need to. You can outsource a lot of that stuff, especially building a lifestyle business.
Yeah, I think you've...
See, you just wind me up, Pat, and let me go.
I kind of knew what I was getting into when we scheduled this, yes. So seeing where your business has evolved, you know, I know you have people that help you with freedom from Demetria that's been with you forever to Matt that was playing such a role now. And it seems like you've just done such a great job of complementing your strengths with people who, you know, they're excited about doing the things that maybe if you were going to do them, you'd have to tolerate doing. So,
yeah, yep. It's taken me a while to really, really get there, you know, because I'm still, I get attracted to the other big idea person because it's just like so much fun and you're doing this. But I tried it and I've had two employees recently that I had to let go because they weren't implementing. They were too busy like coming up with stuff or then doing their own thing on the side. So with Matt, we went through like a long dance, you know, like we dated for a long time, so to speak. And it's funny, I bought him a copy of that book, Rocket Fuel. I said, Matt, read this book and let me know what you are. Of course, he read it in like a day and said, I'm 100% the introvert. He's like, I've tried to be the other guy. It's not me. It's not my role. This is what I'm good at. Ryan, you run with the ideas. I'm going to support you. And I said, and this is another, by the way, this is another important role or quality you need of someone. Because as you become more successful, there's going to be more people who want to get involved with you and do things with you. But what you don't want, you cannot have a yes man or a yes woman. Right? I don't want to be sexist. Because that's not good. You need someone who has their own opinions and can stand up and say, hey, look, I understand what you're doing, but I don't agree with you. And someone who's going to hold you accountable. Because if it was just up to me, I would launch a million things. So I like having this accountability and someone saying, look, we got to get this thing done. Don't forget to take care of this. And don't forget we need to do this thing. So, yeah, it's so important. And you got to find the right people. And you have to make sure they're part of your mission. Because it's never just about the pay. Even if you hire, because I've had people with me who from the Philippines who've worked with me for 4 or 5 years, which is unheard of. You hear stories all the time. Someone with the Philippines, they're with you 2 weeks, and then they disappear. These people have been with me forever. And they're still Facebook friends. And they still say, oh, hey, Ryan, how are you? Like, it's amazing because I brought them in with a vision. First thing we talked about was not, here's how much you're going to pay. Do you know WordPress? Do you know how to do this? No. It's, here's the company. We are changing the lives of entrepreneurs. We are helping them have more time with their family, with their friends, make more money, have more freedom. You know, if yours is a fitness business and you're going to hire someone, you got to make sure they're on with your mission. Look, we are here to transform the lives of, you know, 3,000 women, you know, age 30 to 50. We're going to help 100 baseball players get scholarships and we want to change their lives and get stress off their family. Like whatever that thing is, got to have people involved and excited about your mission because it's never just about the paycheck. Because if it is, the minute they can get better pay or better benefits, whatever, they're gone. So get them. I mean, Matt, the other day, he sent me a screenshot. He's like, oh, look what I just bought. And he uploaded himself and he bought bumper stickers with freedom on it. I mean, what employee does that? Because it's not just about the pay. It's about the being part of something special. So it's kind of circling back to what I said originally, Pat. It's you got to really be excited about what you're doing. It's not just about an ebook. If there's a message people get today, it's not just about selling, you know, a 6-week weight loss ebook. It's not about that. That's a product. That's a product. That's not a business. Big, big difference between selling a product and building a business. You know the difference, Pat. I know the difference. Most people don't. So get out of product mode and get into business mode. Boom! I'm going to drop that friggin' mic. Come on, Pat. Give me some. Come on, man.
Yeah, don't drop it yet. We got more. So most of the people who would be listening to this, you know, they've got a business. They are likely kind of an owner-operator, in many cases kind of self-employed. So they're kind of tethered to their business. So if you were to give somebody kind of a plan of attack on how to make the transition to being more of a lifestyle entrepreneur or to kind of shift from having a business that might kind of own them to having their ideal business, what path would you lead them down?
Well, are you talking about someone who has their own business, like that's more of an offline?
And yeah, like a physical brick and mortar type business.
Yeah. The first thing you have to do is really figure out like financial goals, because I think most people, they don't have like a target they're aiming for. So they're just, they feel aimless and they're hopping from one thing to the next and not really sure what they need to do. So it almost sounds a little counter to what I was saying with, you know, doing that thing that gets excited, because at the end of the day, you got to pay your bills, right? So I always have people come up with a number, and it's funny, inevitably we'll do the coaching call. Say, okay, what's your goal? Well, I want to make more money. Well, how much more? Enough to pay the bills. So what the hell does that mean? You know, your bills are going to be much different than my bills with 4 kids living in Canaan. Like, how much do you need? Well, I want to make $10,000 a month. Okay. So that's $333 a day. What do you want to create? Well, I want to create a $10 ebook. Okay, well, you need to sell, you know, 33 of them a day. Like, so then we start kind of getting into what do you need to do? And there's so many paths to get there. Obviously, you know, you've known me for a while, and some people who've been following me know that I love anything with recurring revenue. So anytime you can, it doesn't mean you have to force it, but anytime you can have some type of dependable recurring revenue, the better. Because if you want to eventually leave that job or close your studio or just do less training, you're going to need some recurring revenue. It's great to sell a $30 ebook, right, and sell 20 a day. But the reality is you're only as good as your last sale. So if you could sell 30 today, tomorrow you're starting back at zero. You're always resetting the clock at zero, right? Always. Even with a really good system in place, even with good Facebook ads that are working, those ads get stale and you got to keep kind of doing it. But if you have 1,000 people paying $20 a month, that's $20,000 a month. So now we got to just start taking care of them and keep putting people in and just make sure we're getting more people in that are leaving. That's a retention game. It's a little bit of a shift, but I would say look into opportunities. Where could you create that recurring revenue? And do not leave your job, quit, do anything until you have at least 6 months of really good data. Okay, I need to make $10,000 a month, and I'm making $10,000 a month. I made that for the past 6 months. Now I can do it. I'm not a fan, Pat, of the whole burn your bridges. You know, hey, just quit your job and do it. That's the worst. Especially, and people who say that are like 23-year-old dudes living with their mom. Yeah, man, it's easy to say, but you know, and I know, if you're married, if you have kids, if you got a mortgage, you know, bank doesn't care that you're now passionate about doing ebooks. They could care less. They want their money at the end of the month. So rule number one, pay your bills. But I think it's a slow transition. I think you keep things really, really, really lean. Okay? Only spend on what you need to. Don't go out and get an office. You don't need an office. You could do this stuff from anywhere. Don't hire full-time people. You can hire people per project. Right? You can hire a virtual assistant for a couple of hours a month for small projects. And you're going to end up doing a lot of this stuff yourself at the beginning, which is good because you learn your business. But keep it lean. If every guru is telling you, oh, you need Infusionsoft, you need it, you know, it's $2,000 setup and $300 a month. No, you don't need that from day one. You can start and just start using PayPal. Make some money. And then if you want to reinvest in some better stuff, then do it. You know, you don't need the premium plan for everything. You don't need all that stuff. Keep it as lean and streamlined as you can till you start building revenue. And then you could reinvest that money back into your business. Because if you made $1,000 this week, doesn't mean now you go out and you're, hey, I made $1,000 this week. I'm going to go lease a new Mercedes S-Class. Like, stop being an idiot. Be responsible. Take some of that money, put it aside, and put some right back in the business. And then slowly start to grow. And then just keep growing and growing. Put the money back in your business. There's no bet. Like everyone says, oh, Ryan, do you invest in the market? No, I don't invest in the market because I have no control of the market. And I don't get near the return on investment I get. You know, I could put $1,000 in the market. Okay, I'll make, you know, 6 or 7%. Or I could put $1,000 in my own business and ad spend and make $4,000 back within a week. I'll take that bet all day long. So be smart. And the better you get at this in this world and in this game, the more you can reinvest and you can grow pretty nicely. But stay lean, be smart, you know, don't feel pressure to join someone's $25,000 or $30,000 quote unquote coaching program or mastermind program. That's why Creative Freedom U, you don't need that. If you want, great. If you think that's going to help you a little bit and you have the money, cool. But just be smart, be very, very smart.
So, I mean, that was perfect. Absolutely perfect. So as we kind of get towards the end here of this episode, do you have any final tips, any final suggestions? I mean, man, this has been chock full of so many actionable takeaways already, but is there anything else that you would want people to remember as they move forward towards kind of building a business that serves them more effectively?
All right. Yeah, I've gone over a lot. I'll say this. Focus. There are two very good books that essentially say the same thing. One is Essentialism and one is The One Thing. They both basically say the same thing of just focus on one thing. Do that one thing. That is really good advice. And it's not easy. I know it's not easy. I know we have a million ideas, especially if you're listening to this show with Pat. You obviously have a lot of ideas and you want to build your business. But I will tell you, the key is focusing on that one thing. Focus and put all of your energy, even if it's only part-time, if you only have 2 hours a day, you do that one thing and you find out what's the biggest driver of your business. For me, the biggest driver is my daily email. That's the first thing I do. I wake up, I go to the coffee shop, and that's the first thing I do is write that daily email. For you, it might be Facebook ads, or it might be doing a video, or it might be doing a podcast. Like whatever, it's going to be different for everybody. But whatever that most important thing is to drive that business forward, do that first, and you focus, focus, focus. Be like my other clients like Zach, and don't stop and niche it down. Like, you take all this stuff together, and when you build that on a concept or idea or a platform or concept that you love, you can hear in my voice, I love this shit. I love entrepreneurship, lifestyle entrepreneurship. I could talk about this all friggin' day. Whatever that thing is that gets you really, really excited, if you can tap into that and your enthusiasm is infectious and you're doing the big things and you're focused and you got your blinders on and you're ignoring all the bright, shiny objects, you're not like, oh man, now I have to do Snapchat. Oh, now I got to do Pinterest. Oh man, you got to do like, and you're jumping around like a jelly bean. You're focused and you're doing the right things. It's like, what did they say about like blocking and tackling, right? Like, do those basics, do the big things, and you just can't lose. And obviously, a little things, make sure you're following the right guys. Like, you're following Pat, good. Like, you're in good hands with Pat. Follow what I do. We've been doing this for a long time. We're not going to lead you astray. I can't stand Pat when these guys come into the fitness market. Like, a young guy who's like 21, never made a dollar in his life. He's like, I'm going to teach you how to make six figures a year as a personal trainer. It's like, what are you talking about, man? You never trained a client. Like, you don't even know what you're talking about. So follow the people who have been in your shoes, who understand, who are actually ethical and care about your success. There's a lot of sharks.
Man, isn't that the truth? So obviously, you've got so much more to share. There's so much that you do that I'm always learning from. Where can the people listening in find out more about everything you have going on?
Well, you can go to ryanlee.com, R-Y-A-N-L-E-E.com. I have a newsletter I put out just about every single day filled with content. Today I talked about list building and three or four best things to do to build your list. So I write almost every day, so go to ryanlee.com. And if you want to stay up with the latest training, like Pat's a member, a lot of great people are members of this group. It's called Freedom University, F-R-E-E-D-Y-M, the letter U.com. It's just $30 and you get... We upload a new training every single day. It's like Netflix for lifestyle entrepreneurs, every single day. And we have an online mastermind group that's 100% supportive, 24 hours a day. So if you want to learn more about traffic, you go to the traffic training area. If you want to learn about building a membership site or creating an ebook, like, you just pick whatever you want. It's all there. It's all included. So that's Freedom, F-R-E-E-D-Y-M, and the letter U.com. And what I like to do, Pat, is anyone who does go to Freedom U and signs up and gives it a try, just forward your email receipt to me at ryan@ryanlee.com. And, you know, I heard you on Pat's show. And what I'll do is I'll give you a free speed coaching call, just me and you. We'll get on the Skype and we'll go through your business and I'll help you in a speed call. So just forward it to ryan@ryanlee.com once you get that email receipt after you join. And boom, we're rocking and rolling. By the way, I'm not upselling you to anything. I want to help.
Man, that's about as good a deal as anybody's ever going to offer. So if you're not already a member of Freedom U, you should be there. I'm there. So definitely jump in there and pay attention to what Ryan has going on. He's definitely influenced me so much, and he's influenced so many of the other people that are succeeding and thriving in our industry and beyond. So Ryan, as always, thank you. Great interview. It was great spending time with you. Looking forward to it. And guys, another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And man, hopefully we'll get Ryan back on again down the line, because this was great. So Ryan,
anytime. I'll be on tomorrow, Pat. Come on. We're just getting started.
Perfect.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.